who are in the flesh cannot what? Right, that's a big one. In Romans 8:11, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, meaning it resides in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his spirit who also lives and breathes and dwells inside you. Verse 25, if we, this is in 2 weeks, but I can't not touch on it, if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, verse 26, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We'll talk about that in 2 weeks. Now, verse 27, he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. An amazing thought that Jesus intercedes for us. Verse 28, we know that, this is the first verse I ever memorized, all things work together for those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. All things, not just some things, everything. Verse 29, shall we say to these things? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? No one. And finally, Paul saves the best for last. Verse 37, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities or powers or things present or things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We could stop right there. That was full and rich and encouraging, wasn't it? But we're going to keep going on. Will you join me in prayer, and we'll go ahead and get started. Lord, we thank you for these rich scriptures, God. Half of them, which we'll look at today, and Lord, we're blessed to be able to glean from your word. God, would you anoint this time? Would you allow a special word of encouragement to fall upon each of these ladies today, God? We know your spirit is here. May it rule and reign in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's easy to see how this is referred to as one of the best or the best chapter in all scriptures. Someone said, if you are ever struggling with depression, read Romans 8. Because when you struggle with depression, it's either in one of three areas: the past, the present, or the future. And Romans 8 is a perfect solution. Here we see each of these situations. The past in verse 1 declares that there is no condemnation in the past. Verses 38 and 39 refers to the future, saying that there is no separation from God's love. And, oops, I put future twice. And present, verse 28, that last one's supposed to say present, all things are presently, currently working together for good. In the present, there it is. In the present. Dr. Donald Barnhouse said that when a believer's Bible accidentally falls to the ground, it should always open to Romans 8. I like that. I concur. It was Franklin D. Roosevelt that addressed Congress on January 6, 1941. Much of what he said has been forgotten. But at the close of his address, he said that he looked forward to a world founded upon four essential freedoms: the freedom of speech, the freedom of worship, the freedom from want, and the freedom from fear. Well, today, we get to look at the Christian's declaration for freedom. For in it, Paul declares the four spiritual freedoms that we as believers get to enjoy because of our union with Christ. Here they are. First, the freedom from judgment. Second, freedom from defeat. Third, freedom from discouragement. And lastly, freedom from fear. These are the freedoms that are available to us as believers if we would grasp them. They're there for our taking. We need to take them today. This morning, we'll look at the first two, and in 2 weeks, we'll look at the final two in the remainder of chapter 8. But today, looking at the first freedom from judgment. Verse 1 says, There is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who did not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Notice that the verse does not say, there is no condemnation to those who do not make mistakes, or to those who do not fail, or even to those who do not sin. No. The fact is that believers do fail, and we do make mistakes, and we do sin. Abraham lied about Sarah being his wife. David committed adultery. Peter tried to kill a man and then denied Jesus 3 times. All of these people did suffer consequences to their sin, but they did not suffer condemnation. For condemnation does not come from Jesus Christ. It comes from the law, which we were freed from when we asked Jesus to come into our life. The law condemns us. Jesus sets us free. To the woman caught in the act of adultery, Jesus said, "Where are your accusers? Go your way and sin no more." As believers, we recognize that we are sinners and that Jesus is indeed our Savior. He paid the price for us on the cross, and so now we go our way free. Do we sin? Yes. Are we forgiven? Yes. But we go away free. There is an attachment here, though. Jesus said to her, "Go your way." But he said, sin no more. That's the key. Sin no more. Don't have a deliberate sin. Something in mind where you're deliberately going out and sinning. This is different from making a mistake or falling. He said, go your way and sin no more. There is a liberation from the past, from sin. And now you have a new freedom to walk in a newness of life because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of his grace. Jesus would say to you today, go your way, a free woman. Don't be in bondage to the past anymore. And for us, as we discussed last week, a lot of the bondage that we have as believers is that we try to measure up. We're trying to be good enough. We're trying to put in our 3 hours of prayer. We're trying to read that 1 year Bible, and we've fallen behind and we're bummed. I'm going to get caught up though. But am I alone? Is there anybody else there? Okay, thank you very much. Okay, one person is with me. Amen, sister. Okay. So this is what I'm talking about. This is a condemnation that we go through, that we're not a good enough Christian, that we blew it, we will never measure up. We read George Whitefield, went to bed at 10 and woke up at 4 every single morning, and we try to be George Whitefield. I call people in my home, hey, George, get to bed, George. They know. We're in a George time right now. We're trying to get to that early, get up early to meet with the Lord. But what happens? You might be able to do it a couple times, and then, you know, day 3 or 4, you know, that gets later and later, and no more George. But there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Be free to love him, to grow in him, to serve him. Use your gifts for him. It's so freeing, as I said last week, to know you're going to blow it. That is so freeing. I cannot measure up. Not that I don't try, but I don't try what? In my own effort. Now I let go and let the Lord do it. And that's what we're going to talk about today. You know, Jesus said here, though there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And I read from a commentator this week that said the ark, I don't know if you've ever heard this, is symbolic of being inside Christ, because what he did was he took Adam and his family and he safely placed them inside the ark, and he shut the door. He closed them in. He didn't put 8 pegs on the outside of the ark and said, hold on for dear life. No, he safely put them inside the ark and closed the door, and he was their covering, and he protected them. They were in the ark, but they were in Christ. And for us, when we choose not to be condemned because we are in Christ, he is our covering. He is our protection. We're not walking according to our flesh. We have chosen to walk now according to the Spirit. The Lord would say to you, don't be in bondage. Don't be in bondage to the law. Don't be in bondage to the past. Don't be in bondage to that standard, as we said last week, that we have placed upon ourselves. I will attain this spiritual level. You will not be able to do it. Let the Lord do it in you. It's so much more freeing. Remembering that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Condemnation comes from the enemy. Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. There's a big difference here. Now, Paul made 3 statements about the believer and the law, and together, I love this. It's blessed me this week so much, and I hope you're blessed by it. Together, they add up to no condemnation. First, the law cannot claim you. Verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law cannot have you. Have you ever said that? Like I have said it to the enemy at times. You cannot have them. You cannot have me. You will not have victory because Jesus has already had victory on the cross. You can't have that. You can't do that. And it's so freeing because the Lord has given you through the Holy Spirit power over the enemy. You can. You just need to reach from it. You need to say, no, that is not my Jesus. That is the enemy. That thought in your mind, you're not good enough. You blew it. Why try? All those lies from the enemy. No, no, no. Don't even go there and tell him. You can't have it. No. That's not my Jesus. And get your mind back on Christ. Well, Paul described last week, we talked about the law of sin and death. Now in chapter 8 this week, he describes the Spirit-filled life, that life that we so want as believers. We so are excited. We want to be in the Spirit. We want to walk in the Spirit. We want to live in the Spirit. The law no longer has any jurisdiction over you. It's gone. You're dead to the law, we were told last week, and you're freed from the law, and now you move into this new sphere of newness of life in Christ Jesus through the grace of God. Now, 2, the law cannot condemn you. Verse 3 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son, Jesus, in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Why did Jesus do this? Why do we have this excitement? Because Jesus has already suffered that condemnation. See, the law was what judged Jesus on the cross. He already suffered that condemnation on the cross that we wouldn't have to. You are completely freed from that. Number 3, the law cannot control you. Verse 4 says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The believer is called now that you're free from the law to live a righteous life, not by the power of the law, but by a new power, by the power of the Holy Spirit, living and active and ruling and reigning in your life. The law does not have power to produce holiness. It can only reveal and condemn sin. But the indwelling Holy Spirit enables you to walk a life of obedience. Oswald Chambers said about obedience, Even the smallest thing that we allow in our lives that is not under the control of the Holy Spirit is completely sufficient to account for a spiritual confusion. For those times where I don't know what to do, I'm confused, those times, the smallest amount of any little thing, all the enemy needs is a foothold to get in and cause confusion. We spend time thinking about something, and the more we dwell on it, we get confused. Chambers would say here, spiritual confusion can only be conquered through a life of obedience. As soon as we obey, we have discernment. It's amazing, isn't it? Right when I obey, I gain this incredible discernment from the Holy Spirit. This is humiliating, he says, because when we are confused, we know that the reason lies in the state of our mind, but when our natural power of sight is devoted and submitted to the obedience of the Holy Spirit, it becomes the very power by which we perceive God's will. And our entire life is kept, this is my word for this week, in simplicity. Paul mentions in the Spirit 19 times in chapter 8. 19 times he mentions the Spirit. I think he's trying to tell us something. Just to remind us that we cannot live according to the flesh, we have to live according to the Spirit. He repeats himself over and over again. Even on our best day, we talked about last week, we cannot merit living in the Spirit. We can't merit salvation. We can't merit the grace of God. Even on our best day, we never will measure up. We need absolute abandonment. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives, and it only comes through obedience. God is not a God of confusion. He brings clarity of mind and thought, not confusion. The enemy is what brings confusion in our mind. I felt like the Lord was telling me this week, Michelle, keep it simple. Keep it simple. And I've told you before, I'm a very simple-minded person. I'm not very intellectual. I'm not very deep. I don't think really deep. I just love the Word of God. And the Word of God, studying the Word of God, gives you such deep, incredible nuggets and insights. That's as deep as I need to go. Whatever's in the Word is as deep as I need to go. And the Lord would maybe say to some of you today, don't overthink. Not even spiritual things, but don't overthink problems. Don't overthink situations and circumstances in your life. Because what does that do when we sit and dwell and overthink? Either it brings confusion, and then what comes in fear and anxiety and depression and all that stuff. If we would do what Chambers said here and keep it simple, just be concerned about you and your relationship with the Lord and growing in your relationship with the Lord and try not to think about everything else that's going on and everyone else and their relationship with the Lord, but just me and Jesus, then something very supernatural happens. And God just works and moves in me. He gives me joy and he gives me peace. And I don't have confusion. I've got clarity and I've got discernment because I'm concentrating on my relationship with Jesus and what he wants to do. And he gives me those rich nuggets of truth that are deep, even though I'm not deep. And he helps me to see. He has my, like I said last week, those light bulb moments where the light bulb goes off and you finally understand a deep concept. Because the Holy Spirit has given you insight. Not because you sat there and dwelt upon it and tried to figure it out, but because the Holy Spirit has given you understanding. Don't overthink, ladies. It causes confusion. Keep it simple. Now, our second spiritual truth that we're going to look at today is freedom from defeat. And this is where I really spent the majority of our time today because I feel that many of us feel defeated at times. And we allow the enemy to get in and we allow him to take advantage of us when we're weak or we're tired or we're sick. And we often feel defeated. And that is a lie from the enemy. An opportunity of sharing with a good friend this week who was in this position. And I said, no, he cannot have you. You cannot be defeated. You never say, a Christian never says, I can't. You always say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So here in Romans 8, 12 and 13, we see that we do have freedom from defeat. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You see, there's no obligation to our old nature. The enemy loves to bring up our old things and to allow that old woman to come back up and roar her ugly head. But we have no obligation to it. It's done. And we'll talk about next time that we are more than conquerors. I think I touch on it today, and I'm going to explain to you just because it ties in so nicely. But the battle's over. It's won. It's already been fought. It's already been won. It was won on the cross. The believer can now have victory in Christ, victory from the past, victory in the present, victory in the future. Why? Paul tells us in verse 37, and if it's not highlighted in your Bible, I'd quickly underline it because you want to keep this. This is probably the second verse that I memorized. And after I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me, this was maybe the third. Verse 37, you are more than conquerors through him who loved you. Being a conqueror, you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Being a conqueror, just a conqueror. I'm a conqueror in Christ. Paul didn't say that, did he? He said, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ. To be a conqueror means I went out and I won the battle. To be more than a conqueror means that you went into the battle and it was already won. You were already victorious when you went into the battle. Why? Not because you won it, because he already won it. Because he was victorious on the cross. Let us stand tall today, going into our battles victorious. We're already, it's done. It's already won. And a lot of times I think we go in and we're tired or wounded, and we come hobbling into the battle, and we start thinking, I can't do this. You're right. You can't do it. He can, and he already did. It's done. It's won. The battle is over. So walk in victory today. It's done. You who are discouraged today, walk in victory, knowing my God has already paid the price for me, and every battle in my whole life is won, but it's up to me to walk in that victory today. Do you know that today? That you are not just a conqueror, that you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus today. There is nothing you cannot do through Christ who strengthens you, right? A Christian should never say, I can't. I tell my kids, you cannot say that word in our house, I can't. Because you can through him. All things are possible through Christ who strengthens you. He already fought it. He won it. Our job is to walk in it. How is this possible? Now we get to the nitty-gritty. Yes, I'm your cheerleader. I built you up. Go, go, go. How do you do it now? How do you walk in it? The only way this is possible is through the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit. When you asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit then came inside and, we're told, dwells inside of you. Lives. Remains inside of you. That's who brings conviction. That's who teaches us, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also empowers us to live this life that we cannot do. He does it in and through us. Now, Paul describes in verses 5 through 17 three types of people, and he encourages us in that we want to be the last type of person. I'm going to show you, because this is what we're aiming for, ladies. First, there's three types of people: those who have not the Spirit, those that have the Spirit, and here we go, those that the Spirit has you. That's what we want. Does the Spirit of God have you today? Not is he in you, does he have you? Well, the first one is speaking of non-believers, those that the Spirit of God does not dwell. They live in the flesh, and they live a life after the flesh. They're alive physically, but spiritually they're dead. They may be moral. They may even be religious, but they lack spiritual life. They are at war with God. The second person may be many of us. You have the Spirit. Speaking of a believer, there's evidence of a converted life. And the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life brings conviction and repentance. They experience a new life of peace with God. They are no longer at war with God. This is a good place to be, but we want to go further. We want to be the last one. The Spirit of God has you. It's not enough for us to say that we have the Spirit. The Holy Spirit must have us. Only then can he share with us the abundant, victorious life that we have in Christ Jesus. We no longer have an obligation to the flesh because the flesh has only brought us trouble in our lives. Instead, we are now obligated to the Holy Spirit. For it is in the Spirit who teaches us, he convicts us, he reveals Jesus to us, he even molds and shapes us into the very image of Jesus Christ. And he empowers us to live a victorious life. How are we empowered? When we obey. You have to obey. Paul says in verse 15 that we have received the Spirit of adoption, where we cry out, Abba, Father, meaning Papa or Daddy. The word adoption in the New Testament means being placed in the family of God as an adult son or daughter. Even though we come into God's family at birth or new birth, when you're born again, we are positioned immediately, not as an infant, not as a toddler. We are positioned as an adult daughter in Christ. Because a baby can't walk, a baby can't speak, a baby can't make decisions, a baby can't draw upon the family wealth, but the believer can do all of these things the moment they ask Jesus in their heart. So how exactly do we go from having the Spirit in us to allowing him to have us? I'm going to tell you. Look to verse 14. For as many are led by the Spirit, they are sons of God. You have to let him lead you. You have to take his hand and let him lead you. Not you take his hand and you start running and say, come on, Jesus, let's go. No, he takes your hand and he may take you in a completely different direction. But you are yielded, meaning you have given way to the Spirit of God. You're saying, I give up my rights. Now, I lay down my life for you. I give it up. I give up my ambitions and my passions for yours. And you know what? Your ambitions and passions and vision may be at one. They may be what the Holy Spirit wants. But more often than not, and I can just say from my own life and from others that I have seen, when you truly say, I give myself up to you, Lord, your will be done, not mine, it is more often than not that the Lord changes our direction, that we do something different. Every single time that I said, Lord, not your will, but mine, we moved. It was crazy. Lord, I surrender once again. Finally, after I walked with the Lord for 5 years, I think, I was able to say, and it takes time. It's not like we get saved. Well, some of us do, but we don't really know what we're saying. We get saved and we say, your will, Lord, I will do anything for you. And then the first bump happens and we crumble. But when you really finally understand and say, not my will, your will, not my life, but your life in and through me, you do in me what you want. It's often that he will change our direction. And then it's almost a test. Are you going to yield? Are you going to listen? Are you going to obey me? When we moved from Florida back here, the Lord said as clear as day, Michelle, I can send anybody, but I'm choosing you. What do you say to that? No? No, of course you say, all right, Lord, we'll leave these people that we love and adore and we've invested 10 years. We've seen them grow from babies to adults. And we'll move to a place that we don't know, to people we don't know, because you are leading us. That's what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. The verb here in verse 14 for led means willingly led, not I'm pulling you by the hair or I have a rope around your neck or begrudgingly. It means that you are submitted and you are surrendered and you are willingly being led by the Spirit. As we yield to the Spirit of God, he guides us. How does he guide us? He guides us through the Word of God. He speaks to us through prayer. He confirms through people and circumstances and things. I could tell you confirmations that would make you laugh. They were so hysterical of what God did. And then I could tell you other things that were amazing, very supernatural. God leads very naturally. God leads supernaturally, very naturally. God knows we love the ocean. He brought us back to the ocean. He took us away from the ocean for 10 years. We lived in a cow pasture. I'm not kidding. It was really a cow pasture. But, you know, I mean, it's like, okay, we can do this, Lord, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? We need to be tenacious with the Lord. I can do it. Do not give up. It's always too early to give up. We're not under bondage. We're not under the law. We have freedom to follow Jesus wherever he may take us. Enjoy your journey. Enjoy your journey with Jesus right now. Some of us are wishing it would end instead of really grasping every little nook and cranny that he wants to show us. You may be in a hard journey. You may be in your... not on your mountaintop. You may be in the valley right now, and it may be hard. Enjoy it. Find a reason to rejoice right now. God has a purpose for your life, because he does all, right, for good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Not just some, everything. Enjoy where he has you right now. Let the Spirit lead you today. Let the Spirit rule and reign. Recommit that to the Lord, to say, Lord, I've been leading, I've been blowing it, I've been in the flesh, I've been doing my own thing. Would you take over? And guess what? He does. He takes over. And then he leads us along the way. Another thing that we noticed in these verses is that the Spirit teaches us from the Word of God. There's no need for any believer to ever be defeated. When you yield, as I said, it means to give way to the Spirit. You can overcome anything. Oswald Chambers said, as I referred to earlier, said, no child of God should ever say, I can't. Instead, you say, I can. You say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you don't have this verse to memory, put it to memory. Write it down somewhere today if you're struggling with saying, I can't continue. I can't do it. I can't raise these kids. I can't continue in this marriage. I can't, whatever your can't is. You're right. You can't, but he can. Let him come in today and rule and reign. Take Jesus by the hand and follow him today on that path, as bumpy and as rocky as it may be. Follow him. Abandon yourself to him today, meaning leave yourself behind and let him take over. Give him freedom to rule and to reign in your life. Receive from the Lord daily. If you are struggling in your devotional life, I will tell you that that's going to be a reflection upon your spiritual life. You've got to be consistent in the Word of God. You need to run to Him first. I know it's cliche, and I've been saying it week after week, but if you really want your spirit to win, you've got to feed it more than your flesh. The one you feed the most is going to win. You've got to concentrate. Set down the phone, set down the computer, set down any other books or commentaries or magazines or anything, and fall upon the one who can lead you and guide you. Fall upon the one who can comfort you, who can bring you peace. This is where we need to be all the time. This is our sword. This is what we fight with. This is what we fall on right here. This is our comfort. All the Lord wants from you is a willing heart. That's all He asks. Once you give your life to Jesus, He wants a willing heart and a surrendered mind, a surrendered life. You've got to relinquish that. When I was talking to those college girls a couple weekends ago, I was telling them how we go through that process of surrender, which I've shared with you before. And, you know, when we first get saved, we give our heart to Jesus. But oftentimes it takes a while to really surrender our will. You know, our wills are stubborn. I know my will is. It's stubborn and it doesn't easily give up, which is a good thing when it comes to, you know, spiritual things. But when it comes to my own thing, it's a bad thing. If you haven't surrendered your will, I'm not saying you're not a believer, but it's part of that sanctification. It often comes in time. There's phases to our sanctification. There's got to come a time where you say, I remember when I surrendered my will. Not when I surrendered my life, but when I said, Lord, You take it all. I am done trying to live this life. You do it. That's surrendering your will. And He will take over. And you will be on this incredible journey with Jesus if you're willing to yield, if you're willing to give way to the Spirit of God in your life. Don't be in control. Let Him control your life. It's so much easier. I don't know why we think it's easier when we're in control. It's harder. It's easier when He controls. It was Paul that wrote, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live in the Son of God. Make that yours today. Now, it's not easy to be crucified. It's not easy to deny ourselves. It sounds painful, doesn't it? It's wonderful. It may be painful. Just for a short time, but it's wonderful to die to my flesh, to live to the Spirit. Be encouraged today that you cannot do it, so don't even try. Don't even try to die. You can't do it. Let Him do it in you and through you. Fall upon Him. Cry out to Him. He is your Papa. He is. You're adopted as an adult. He's your daddy. Cry out to your daddy today. Remember, the battle has already been won. So when you walk out these doors and there's the battle, remember you're victorious because you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. The battle has already been won. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word, which is living and powerful. God, it's sharp and it pierces. I pray today, God, that You would have had a sweet, special, endearing word for Your daughters today, God. I pray that each of us would leave encouraged, challenged, convicted if necessary. Lord, that we would lay down our rights and pick up Your will, God, today. Lord, we love You. I thank You for each of these ladies. I pray that You would move in a mighty way upon their lives. Fill them afresh and anew with your Holy Spirit. Empower them today, God, to live a life according to the Spirit and to deny the flesh. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we're excited to see what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.